So I'll call the meeting to order. And so as a reminder, these meetings are public and they're recorded. So if you're going to speak, please speak loud and clear when you need to. Speak one at a time and state your name before making or seconding a motion. So this is a real state meeting. I guess we'll start by welcoming the new folks. I have this very large script that I'm supposed to read from, and it says right in the script that I'm supposed to congratulate these two new people. And I want to be very careful about the whole level of congratulation, because after you've been here a while, you may think that I'm not being very serious about the whole congratulation thing. But I'd like to welcome Dr. Adrian Kraner, who's from Cold Spring Harbor down on Long Island, and Erasmus Schneider, who's here at the Wadsworth Institute in Albany. Both long-serving fantastic scientists, and it's great to have you on the board. Usually what we do is we start, like any of these meetings, around and introduce everybody. Janine, how are we fixed for arranging tiles in this WebEx? Is it random for everybody?
I can try to fix it so everybody sees the same screen.
But that's not easy. I'm not much of a WebEx person. Or I can just call on people as they
yes,
appear.
Yes, that works.
All right,
that
so works. I'll do that. So,
compile your screen and share your screen, and they'll see your setup.
Oh, okay.
But you know, it makes it smaller.
Okay.
So why don't you, can you start, Catherine?
Catherine Pekoski O'Brien.
So where are you from, and in what capacity are you serving on the board?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Staten Island, New York. I'm a breast cancer survivor, and I am also, I was a health educator for Staten Island Breast Cancer Research Initiative, and I'm a trauma therapist counseling people with cancer and trauma.
Okay. Dr. Lee?
Hi, my name is Annette Lee, and I'm an investigator at the Feinstein Institutes for Medical Research. I have a research interest in breast and ovarian cancer.
Dr. Resta?
Hi, I'm Gina Resta. I'm a medical oncologist. I was involved heavily in clinical trials as the local PI for NSABP and also for U.S. Oncology clinical trials. I've taken care of breast cancer patients with breast cancer for over 25 years. I just retired from clinical practice full-time in December.
Awesome. Those are the only people I can see, so let's just move the meeting along. Dr. Kraner, you were up next, actually, on what I could see. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, I'm Adrian Kraner. I work at Cold Spring Harbor Lab, where I've been 5+ years. I'm an RNA splicing researcher, and we also do therapeutics development, antisense technology for genetic diseases and cancer.
Welcome.
Thank you.
He's also an awesome volleyball player. Don't ever play against Dr. Kraner in volleyball. He wins every time. Beverly?
When I was younger.
Beverly? Ms. Cannon, can you hear me?
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm Beverly Cannon, and I am a patient advocate, breast cancer survivor, if you will, for lack of another term, over 20 years, about 22 years now. And I've served on this committee for quite a long time and have... I identify myself now as patient advocate research partner because I do a lot of work with researchers and grant participation. And I want to thank you, Regina, for correcting yourself and saying, rather than breast cancer patients, patients who have breast cancer. That's very important to us.
You taught me.
Thank you, Beverly. Always good to see you. Mr. DeStasio.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I am here. I don't think I'm on video, though. Am I?
No, we can't see you.
I'll see if I can fix that. Anyhow, I am retired from the American Cancer Society and a prostate cancer survivor.
Good to hear from you again. Dr. Schneider?
Yes, good morning. My name is Erasmus Schneider. Until about a year ago when I retired, I was at the Wadsworth Center for 26 years. I was actually one of the very first recipients of one of those breast cancer grants back in 99 or 2000. I don't remember the exact date. I've been working on cancer multi-drug resistance and more recently before I retired on advanced diagnostics with next generation sequencing and especially for cancer and also COVID at the end. And I've been on American Cancer Society grant funding panels and board meetings for up to 10 years.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Doc.
So are we missing anyone from the board at this point? It's here that I can't see much, unfortunately.
So, this is Suzanne Hicks. I'm trying to sign in.
Okay. I didn't know you were on, Suzanne. Sorry.
Yeah. It's okay.
If you'd like to introduce yourself, we can listen.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I'm Suzanne Hicks, a patient advocate, survivor of breast cancer and melanoma. And I too have been on the board for a long time.
Great to hear from you. I'm Doug Conklin, so I've been on the board in part because of the proximity to Albany for quite some time, and I've been chairing this for a while. I welcome especially the new folks. I think the people that are here already understand that this is an odd sort of endeavor that we're engaged in here because it's very much we're carrying out the state's business, and it's not like an NSF or an NIH study section. It's a little bit like council, but it's highly related to statutes that were developed or that were passed in the late 90s that deal with pesticide use and breast cancer incidence and educational programs, as well as breast cancer research. So it's a little complicated, and if you're new to the board, this is going to seem a little unfamiliar. Because it's much more of sort of a state governmental meeting, which is what it is. So my lab does functional genomics in breast cancer, so that's why I'm here. Should we go through then all the DOH introductions, Janine, all the people that are here supporting us?
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm Janine Tush, and I work at the Department of Health, Extramural Grants Administration.
Hi, this is Andrea Garavelli. I'm the director of Extramural Grants Administration, and me and my staff, we administer the day-to-day operations to keep things running within the boards.
Hi, Terry Asienzo. Work with Andrea and Janine.
I'm Dave Guggins. I'm the newest in the team.
Hi, Farah O'Brien. I oversee the contract management side of things at the Department of Health.
I also have a couple of Department of Health staffing updates. As you may already know, Dr. Victoria Derbyshire retired in 2021, and Carlene Van Patten
in 2022. I would like to introduce Dr. James Chitlin. He is the Deputy Director of the Wadsworth Center. And in addition, he'll be serving as the ex officio designee on behalf of the commissioner. So this is James. And we also have Alana Busher. She is the Associate Director for Administration within the Wadsworth Center. And they are both attending the meeting and excited to see how this goes. And I think that's all of the Department of Health staff that we have here.
Thanks, Andrea. I'm nervous already that all these bigwigs are sitting in. So Janine, I didn't realize that I can see you both in bigs, and it looks like you're at some fantastic suburban retreat. I thought you were working from home. I'm sorry about that. Who have we missed that would like to be, if you'd like to introduce yourself? Mr. McCormick? Anybody else?
Dr. Conklin, Jeanette Dippo, out in Central New York. I am representing that area, and I am a 20-year breast cancer survivor myself. Wonderful to see you all.
Thanks for being here. So did I miss you?
Yes, that's okay.
I missed you the whole time. I hope you're feeling well today.
I'm great. Thank you to everyone for being here. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Sorry I missed you. Okay, so Andrea, you were going to then talk about staff changes. Do you think you've covered that sufficiently, or is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, I think that is sufficient, and we can get moving.
Okay.
To the next.
All right. So as you know, all of these positions are volunteer on the board, and so hopefully everybody feels that they're doing their part as a sort of a civil service in carrying out today's meeting. That means that it's sort of interesting to try to fill the board from time to time. And we've got some updates on who's on the board and membership and sort of vacancy. If you've been on the board for a while, if you've been around these meetings, they're typically held once a year. And this is sort of a something that we work at continually to try to make sure that we've got people involved. Virtually everybody on the board, everybody that's here today is really busy. And so it's not always easy, as you know, scheduling these meetings. It's not always easy getting folks here so that we've got quorum or to serve on the board. So with that sort of preamble, I'd like to say that Mark Wilkenfeld has recently stepped off the board. He's served for a number of years, I want to say close to 15 years on the board. We wish him all the best, and we're going to miss him. And at this point, we have 5 vacant scientist seats on the board. The way these seats are filled are through nominations that are and appointed. The individuals are appointed by various leadership offices. So there are going to be 2 positions that should be appointed by the Speaker of the Assembly. So that's Carl Hastie's office. There are 2 that should be appointed by the temporary President of the Senate. So that's Andrew Stewart Cousins' office. And then 1 can be appointed by the Minority Leader of the Senate, Rob Ort. So for the science folks showing up, I warned you that this is going to be a little bit sort of a not a typical NCI sort of meeting. In addition, we currently have 2 vacant regional breast cancer survivor advocate seats, and this includes 1 for the Hudson Valley. So this is stipulated again in the original legislation. So 1 representative from the Hudson Valley, and that's appointed by Governor Kathy Hochul, and then 1 in Western New York, also appointed through the Senate by Andrea Stewart Cousins. And so at this point, we have someone in mind, and they're going through the process to be appointed from the Hudson Valley. Is that correct? Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, that's correct. So that's in process.
Okay. So
Dr. Lake just joined the meeting.
Welcome, Dr. Lake. Would you like to introduce yourself? She's ready. Whenever you're ready, Dr. Lake, just jump in.
I'm sorry, I was having trouble logging on and a few other things. But I'm here.
So tell us a little bit about you. Now that you're here and we've given you no time to even sit down, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a medical oncologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering, senior attending on the breast service. And I've been there for 20 some odd years, trained at Memorial. I'm not a basic science researcher. I do participate in clinical trials as we do at Memorial. I've been on this board, I don't know how long because we don't meet that often, so it's difficult to say. I don't know. Anything else you want to know?
I think that's good for today. We're being recorded, so we, you know.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
I should have given you that.
Because of previously scheduled meetings, I'll have to jump out from 10 to 11 and I think from 12 to 12:30.
Okay. I think we've.
I had COVID and I'm still being quarantined. So that's why it's hard because you can't go out, you can't do anything. So I'm attending this meeting and trying to do what I can on through work.
Well, I hope you're feeling better soon. And I think
I am.
Plan in place to that anticipates your changing schedule during the day. So welcome.
Okay.
Good to see you again. So the only thing I'd like to say is, there's sort of this continual issue of making sure that we have quorum, that we have enough people appointed. This is why we're so thankful to have everybody that's here today. And if you've got candidates in mind, people that you know that would be excellent as scientific experts for the board or for great community representatives for the board, please forward those names to the folks at the DOH because we're always looking for fresh meat, new talent. We're always looking for new talent on the board. So questions so far? I think we're okay. So let's get going and consider the minutes from the last meeting that we had, which was shortly after the coronavirus outbreak in May 8th of 2020. This is Exhibit 1. Tab 2 of the packet that was sent around via email. I don't know if everybody has that on hand, but any comments, corrections, thoughts? Okay, so I'll take that as a sort of your approval. So let's, can we officially approve them?
Motion to approve.
Okay, so.
I'll second Jeanette Dippo.
Okay.
You got those? Okay, so let's have a roll call. Anything else to add? No? Okay, let's have a roll call. And I think we can do it in the participants, if you go alphabetically, is that the best way to do it? So, I think you might.
Doug, do you want me to do the roll call? This
you
is
have
Andrea.
A, you have a list?
I do have a list, so well, I'll do a roll call. And we'll try to go in this order for each of the motions to make it a little smoother.
Okay.
So, Catherine.
Okay.
I forget to say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Or you can say yes, that's fine.
Okay. Yes.
Doug, Dr. Conklin.
Aye.
Okay, Dr. Lee.
Did you say Leo Lake? Oh,
Lee. Lee.
Okay, sorry. All right.
Aye.
Okay. Dr. Resta?
Aye.
Okay. Beverly? Okay. We'll go back to Beverly. Dr. Craner? I think you may be on mute.
Thanks for reminding me. I was just saying I didn't attend the previous meetings, but I have no objections to the minutes. So okay. Count me as aye.
All right. Don?
Aye.
Okay, Dr. Schneider?
Aye.
Suzanne? Suzanne, I think you're on mute.
Yes. Sorry. Aye.
That's okay. And Jeanette?
Aye.
And Dr. Lake?
Aye.
All right. And Beverly? I think you're still on mute. Beverly, can you hear us?
Sorry, the mute on this is down below. I'm sorry. I responded the first time. Aye.
All right. Okay, so this motion is approved. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. So that's unanimous? Great, wonderful. Okay, so let's move on to what we're really here for today, primarily is consideration of applications for funding. Andrea is going to give us sort of an overview of what the recurring scientific research and education RFAs are before we then move into executive session where we'll discuss some of the possibly funded awards for today. So Andrea, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, Doug. The board approved the release of three recurring RFAs at the May 2020 meeting. The total available funding for all three RFAs was $2.97 million. In Exhibit 2, Tab 4, is the order of review for the Patricia S. Brown Breast Cancer Risk Reduction Education Research Projects. Excuse me. $270,000 was available to fund one award. The RFA was issued on December 1st, and three applications were received by the March 8th, 2022 deadline. This gave applicants 13 weeks to prepare. One application did not pass administrative review, and two were peer reviewed on May 3rd. These applications were scored on a scale of 1 to 9, and the peer-reviewed critiques are included in your materials. Please note that if the board recommends the top-scoring application, funding of $270,000 would be programmed. Are there any questions? Okay. So Exhibit 3, Tab 7, is the order of review for Peter T. Rowley Breast Cancer Scientific Research Projects Round 7. This RFA had $2.16 million available to fund 5 to 7 applications. The RFA was issued on August 11th, and 19 applications were received by the October 26th, 2021 deadline. 11 weeks were given to prepare these applications. These applications were peer-reviewed in January 2022, and 4 applications were triaged. 15 applications were scored on a scale of 1 to 9. The research plan score is the tiebreaker, and the impact score the second tiebreaker. If the board recommends the top 7 scoring applications, funding of $2.45 million would be programmed. As in the past, for both RFAs, The board may vote in favor or against any application submitted for funding. If an application for which there are available funds is not recommended for funding, the board will fully justify in writing why the application was not approved. And the board may choose to give the status of not funded due to limited resources to other meritorious applications. This way, if there are declinations, these applications could become recommended awards for funding. These contracts are scheduled to begin on January 1st, 2023 for a 2-year term for the Peter T. Rowley Awards and a 3-year term for the Patricia S. Brown Awards. Are there any questions? Okay. I also wanted to...
Andrea?
Yes.
I do have a question. Are we obliged to fund as many as possible, or can we say we only fund 4, even though there's more money available?
So you would fund what the board finds to be the most meritorious application. So if there is still funding available and you've only gotten down to 4 awards, you can stop there. You don't have to utilize all of the funding. And we'll discuss more of that in detail in executive session.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Did anybody else have any questions? No? Okay.
I have a question. Is there a reason that we don't have the roster for the Pat Brown reviews?
For the
review committees of the Peter Rowley are there, but not for the Pat Brown.
Right, and that's because we need to keep the reviewers anonymous on which applications that they did review. And since we only had 2 applications, everybody on the panel reviewed both. So we need to keep that anonymous because it would show who reviewed what application.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yep, that's a reasonable explanation. Thank you.
Okay. Did anybody else have any questions? Okay. So I wanted to also discuss the healthcare practitioner breast cancer education research projects funding opportunity. We worked with our colleagues from the Bureau of Cancer Prevention and Control, and we were able to add 90 contacts to our announcement list prior to the RFA release. As you can see in your materials, there's no order of review for this RFA because no applications were received by the due date. We did conduct a non-applicant poll, and a summary of that poll and excerpts from the RFA can be found in tab 12 of your meeting materials. A quick summary of the healthcare practitioner RFA. $540,000 was available to fund up to 2 applications. Applicants were given 10 weeks to prepare. A non-applicant poll was sent out to 295 individuals on our e-alert list on March 31st. We received 8 responses. Of those 8, 37% said they would be interested in applying if the opportunity was offered again, and 62% said they would not apply if the opportunity was offered again or they were unsure if they would apply. Some respondents provided additional insight as to why they did not apply. To summarize, they pointed to not having enough time to apply, noted they were not eligible, no longer in business, or they were short-staffed as reasons for not applying, and some individuals seem to be frustrated by the process of applying. We do have a member of the public, Francis Har... I'm going to say the last name, Harf... Fouch from Roswell Park is attending and has let us know that they are interested in applying for this funding opportunity if it is offered again. So I think that covers the relevant topics that we can discuss in public session. And we can talk more about these procurements in executive session. But before we go to executive session, are there any questions? Okay, so Doug, I'm gonna take over this next part from you. So could somebody make a motion to move into executive session for discussing the peer review results?
Suzanne Hicks, I so move.
Thank you. And second?
Gina Resta, I second.
Thank you. Okay, and roll call, Catherine. Oh, you're on mute.
Aye.
Okay, Dr. Conklin.
Aye.
Dr. Lee.
Aye.
Dr. Resta.
Aye.
Dr. Craner.
Aye.
Beverly.
Aye.
Don.
Aye.
Dr. Schneider.
Aye.
Suzanne.
Aye.
Jeanette.
Aye.
And Dr. Lake.
Aye.
Okay, so the first order of business is to recommend applications for funding. These are applications that have been submitted in response to the RFAs that were issued last year. So let's begin with our award recommendations for the Patricia S. Brown Breast Cancer Risk Reduction Education Research Projects. This is round 8. Andrea will announce the applications from Exhibit 2, Tab 4.
Okay, the board will vote to recommend application number 4 from Dr. Edie at the Moving for Life Incorporation.
Okay, there are no recusals on this. May I have a motion to recommend this application for award using the peer review results as the basis for this decision?
So moved.
Second.
Gina has, so Dr. Resta, Mr. D'Estasio seconded. Okay, so now let's do a roll call vote on this.
All right. Catherine?
Aye.
Okay, Dr. Conklin?
Aye.
Dr. Lee?
Aye.
Dr. Resta?
Aye.
Okay. Hold on just one sec. We'll finish. Just hold on one second. Okay. I just want to go back to this motion. So this motion stated that we are recommending to fund this application from the Pat Brown RFA. Right. Does everybody understand? Okay. So,
let's... so to not say recommendation.
Yep.
So
yeah, we're voting on the motion.
It would be, if you're voting to not award it, it would be a nay.
Right.
But if you're voting to award it, it's going to be a yay.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Right. And so are we being recorded now?
I think we understand that.
Right.
Yeah. Just
okay. Okay, so let's start that motion over. So the board will vote to recommend for funding application number 4 from Dr. Edie at the Moving for Life Incorporation. May I have a motion to recommend this application for funding using the peer review results as the basis for this decision?
So moved.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Resta. And seconded by?
Second.
Okay. Does anybody want to have a discussion about this? If not, we'll move to a roll call. So, Catherine?
Aye.
Dr. Conklin?
Aye.
Dr. Lee?
Aye.
Okay, Dr. Resta?
Aye.
Dr. Craner?
Aye.
Beverly?
Nay.
Don?
No.
Dr. Schneider?
No.
Suzanne?
Aye.
Jeanette?
Aye.
And Dr. Lake?
Aye.
Okay, so this motion was not approved. Okay. In summary, the board has not recommended this Pat Brown application for award.
Okay, thanks, Andrea. So let's proceed with our award recommendations for the Peter T. Rowley Breast Cancer Risk Reduction Education Research Projects. This is round 7 of these awards. So may I have a motion to recommend? So we're moving on 3 applications, is that correct?
That's okay. Correct.
So may I have a motion to recommend these 3 applications for funding to the commissioner using the peer review results in order of best to worst score? Andrea will announce our applications from Exhibit 3, Tab 7.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess we need a motion, is that correct?
Right, but I think I have to read the applications first and then the motion. So the first application is application number 4 from Dr. Chung at Stony Brook University. The second application is application number 11 from Dr. Barroso at Albany Medical College. The third application is application number 37 from Dr. Lin at Stony Brook University. So a motion.
I so move.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
Any discussion about these awards? Comments?
Okay, so roll call.
Yep.
Catherine?
Aye.
Dr. Conklin?
Aye.
Dr. Lee?
Aye.
Dr. Resta?
Aye.
Dr. Craner?
Aye.
Beverly?
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
Dr. Schneider?
Aye.
Suzanne?
Aye.
Jeanette?
Aye.
And Dr. Lake?
Aye.
Okay, so this motion was approved. In summary, the board has recommended 3 applications for funding for a combined total of $1.08 million for the Rowley RFA. So to summarize what comes next, the board's recommendations for award will be forwarded to the Commissioner of Health for approval. With her approval, the letters of award and regret will be sent to the applicants with their critique and scores. From there, we will work with the awardees to finalize the work plans, budgets, and to get contracts executed. These contracts are expected to begin on January 1st, 2023.
Excellent. Okay. So we're going to discuss future RFAs at this point. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And can you summarize then where we're at with the RFAs that
sure
in issuing, I guess?
Yes. Okay, so we are looking at releasing Rowley Round 8 RFA with $1.8 million available for release as soon as possible with the revisions as discussed and agreed upon. We are voting to release Pat Brown, round 9 RFA, with $270,000 available for release as soon as possible with revisions as discussed and agreed upon. And healthcare practitioner, round 5 RFA, with $270,000 available for release as soon as possible with revisions as discussed and agreed upon.
Excellent. Can I get a motion to approve that?
So moved.
Second, Jeanette.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roll call.
Okay, Catherine.
Aye.
Dr. Conklin.
Aye.
Dr. Lee.
Aye.
Dr. Resta.
Aye.
Okay, Dr. Craner.
Aye.
Beverly.
Aye.
Don.
Aye.
Dr. Schneider.
Aye.
Suzanne.
Aye.
Jeanette.
Aye.
And Dr. Lake.
Aye.
Okay, great. So this motion was approved.
So we're very hopeful that those RFAs are out as soon as possible. So that's exciting.
Yes.
Okay, so for the next section, the next agenda is a program update. So this is Exhibit 4, tab 14 in your meeting materials. And Janine's going to provide an update on the HRSB contracts. Janine?
Hey. So since the board last met, 13 awarded contracts concluded. This includes 2 Brown Round 5 contracts that began on January 1st, 2019. They've concluded, they finished in December 2021. These 3-year contracts totaled $513,000. Despite COVID-19 restrictions, the PIs were able to adapt and meet contract aims. A total of 4 publications were created acknowledging HRSB support. 7 Rally Round 4 contracts that began on January 1st, 2019, concluded in December 2020. These 2-year contracts totaled $2.46 million. Although some of the PIs experienced setbacks during the pandemic, a total of 7 publications were created acknowledging HRSB support. And 4 of the 5 Rally Round 5 contracts that began on November 1st, 2019, concluded. These 2-year contracts totaled $1.76 million. The PIs reported significant progress despite COVID-19 restrictions and their related delays. They have a total of 4 publications and 1 manuscript was created acknowledging HRSB support. And for our current contracts, we have a total of 12 current contracts that are ongoing. This includes 1 Rally Round 5 contract. They received a no-cost extension through October 2022. 1 Pat Brown Round 6 contract and 2 Healthcare Practitioner Round 2 contracts that go through November 2022. And these 3-year contracts totaled $800K total. And then there was the 8 Rally Round 6 contracts that the board approved at the last meeting. They have begun and they go through October 2023. These 2-year contracts total $2.83 million. And we will continue to carefully monitor the expenditures and scientific progress for all current contracts, and they will be featured in the HRSB biennial report. Are there any questions before we proceed?
Questions? No questions? Okay. Thanks, Janine. You have updates on board meetings and open meetings law?
Yes. So there have been some changes to public officers law, open meetings law, that allow more flexibility for public meetings. Once the state of emergency is lifted, right now that state of emergency still is in effect, and that's why we're able to meet this way like we are today. So the board could adopt a resolution which can define video conferencing processes to use if necessary when the state of emergency is lifted and meetings are, you know, back to in-person requirements go in effect. So if you'd like to pass a motion to allow members to participate remotely, you can do so, but members participating from remote locations, like for example, like from participating from home, would not be counted towards quorum, but the member could, if you, you know, if the board approves, the member could still participate and vote. So we would only be able to use that scenario in just an extraordinary circumstance. So to summarize in simple terms, we need 9 members to be physically present. Being physically present would mean that the board's meeting address would need to be included in the public meeting notice, and that is written in open meetings law. The public would have to have a right to attend that location. So for example, if you want to attend the meeting from your institution in a conference room, you can do that as long as we give the public notice in advance. They would have the right to attend at that location. So that way we're still meeting open meetings law and you would be able to be counted towards quorum. And we'll still require members of the public to pre-register in advance. And we would, you know, let people know where that person might be attending. And we'll continue to plan on offering the virtual ability to the public to attend to. Are there any questions? So the board can pass a resolution to authorize the use of extraordinary circumstances.
Okay. So we've got the text for that. Is that something that should be entered at this point?
Yes. So let's see. So the board may, in its discretion.
I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
I'm happy to do it.
Okay. It's up to you.
I've got a copy of the text. I figure that's why you gave me the copy of the text. It's been a really long meeting, but I'm so the board may, in its discretion, allow its members to participate remotely under extraordinary circumstances for itself and its committees, and so long as there is a quorum of members gathered at a physical location or locations open to the public. Extraordinary circumstances shall include, but not be limited to, temporary or permanent disability, illness, caregiving responsibilities, or any other significant or unexpected factor or event which precludes the member's physical attendance at such meeting. The chair may use their discretion on behalf of the board to excuse the member's physical attendance if the reason for the extraordinary circumstance is communicated to the board's chair prior to a meeting. Clear? So this is just for extraordinary circumstances.
So that does not include COVID?
It should.
So illness is mentioned as a reason.
Yeah. And the reasons listed are included but not limited to. So it would be at the chair's discretion.
Okay.
Seems pretty reasonable.
I move that we adopt the resolution.
Okay.
I second.
All right. Roll call vote then.
All right. Catherine?
Aye.
Dr. Conklin?
Aye.
Dr. Lee?
Aye.
Dr. Resta?
Aye.
Dr. Craner?
Aye.
Beverly?
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
Dr. Schneider?
Aye.
Okay. Suzanne?
Aye.
Jeanette?
Aye.
And Dr. Lake?
Aye.
Okay, great. Thank you. That motion is approved. Okay, so the next meeting will likely be scheduled for 2023 in the spring or summer. If you cannot attend a future meeting at a New York State DOH location, as we discussed, you should let us know where you'll be attending from, and if possible, it should be open to the public and included on the meeting notice so that your attendance can be counted towards quorum.
Okay, thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome.
According to the law, at least one meeting a year shall be a public hearing. So this is a case where the general public may question and present information and comments to the board with respect to the operation of the Health Research Science Board, the Breast Cancer Research and Education Fund, and pesticide reporting established pursuant to sections 33-1205 and 33-1207 of the Environmental Conservation Law. So we'll hear a report to the board on the efficiency and utility of pesticide reporting from the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Rich Dickinson is here from NYS DEC. It's all yours, Rich.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I just have a brief report. Right now, DEC staff are processing the 2021 annual reports that were due February 1st. Working with those people who are late for whatever reason and those that are having issues with their report. For the 2020 annual report data that were due February 1st, 2021, there was some 16,000, almost 500 applicators who were due to report every year that year. And there was 289 commercial permittees due to report. Out of those, there was 1,092 applicators and technicians who got a notice of violation for failure to report. And there was 17 commercial permittees that were issued a notice of violation for failure to report. For the reporting year 2020, we received a total of 9,717,704 records of data. And of those, well, a little over 9 million were received, about 93.4% were received electronically, and a little over 640,000 were received on paper. This is a continuing trend that more and more people are reporting electronically and fewer are utilizing the paper reporting. The available annual reports summarized data on the Cornell website is updated up through 2017. We're working on finalizing the other data to get it posted and available as soon as possible on the Cornell website. As far as we are aware, there was no requests for the site-specific application of sales data. And the pesticide data is still used and necessary for the DEC's work and other entities that use the data. We continue our efforts to improve the data through outreach to the regulated community, and we work with applicators who file reports with errors to try to not only correct the errors but work with them so that they won't repeat that error in future reports. And there were two other things that we wanted to mention. One is that the environmental conservation law was modified, and the changes just recently here in June became effective. The reference to Cornell University was removed from the law as far as hosting the database. This was upon recommendation from the comptroller's office after an audit of our program. And so this leads me to the second thing that I wanted to mention, and that is that an RFP is under development and will be going out this summer. And hopefully we will have a contract in place in early 2023 to begin the work to move the PESI reporting law databases from Cornell to the DEC. So the database will now reside here with the DEC in the future. So this is something that we've intended to do for some time now, and everything seems to be moving in that direction. Now we have the funding and everything. So one other change that was in the changes to the PESI reporting law, Title 12, was to require electronic reporting or reports on scannable forms provided by the department. So we're hopeful that this will continue the move to people reporting electronically, which makes the data manipulation and correction much simpler, and it eliminates some of the common errors we have with and issues with legibility and so forth in the reports. And that's our report for the show.
Okay. Thank you, Rich, very much. Questions, comments on that? Sounds like there's constant progress.
Yes.
Any comments? I'd like to thank members of the public that have attended, the staff at the DOH that have made it all possible, and board members who have volunteered their time to make this happen. The next time we're going to meet is going to be in spring of 2024. We'll
We had to change it.
Spring of 2023.
Right. Because of the change.
That's right. I'm sorry. I changed the RFA date. I didn't change the, okay. So the RFAs will be released in late 2022 with a meeting in 2023.
Right.
And I may show up a year late. I'm just saying I've warned you already. Right. We've covered a lot of ground, a very short time. Geologic, apparently. So I'd like to thank all of you for your thoughtful deliberations and comments. And so I would entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting at this time.
I so moved.
I'll second, Jeanette.
Okay. Roll call. Catherine.
Catherine.
Dr. Conklin.
Aye.
Dr. Lee?
Aye.
Dr. Resta?
Aye.
Dr. Craner?
Aye.
Beverly?
Aye.
Don?
Aye.
Dr. Schneider?
Aye.
Suzanne?
Aye.
Jeanette?
Aye.
And Dr. Lake?
Aye.
Great. Okay, so thank you. That concludes the meeting.
We're adjourned.
Thank you. Yes. Right, thank you so much.
Bye.
Good to see everyone.
Bye. Take care.